There is nothing wrong with your internet. Do not attempt to adjust your settings. We are controlling the podcast. We control the squealing and the screams. We can make your heart flutter, your eyes blur from tears, or sharpen your mind to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit back. We are in control of what you hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your settings. You are about to experience the awe and mystery known as the female mind. You are now entering the fangirl zone.
Hello and welcome to Sci-Fi Talk on the Fangirl Zone, a podcast where we discuss shows on the Sci-Fi Channel. I'm Sean Fangirl S.
And I'm Steve, and today we'll be discussing episode one of season one of Revival.
I do hope that you are right, that this is season one, that we're going to have additional seasons.
Yes, let's certainly hope so. Now, episode one brought in a 0.104 million viewers and a 0.02 rating in adults 18 to 49. Our ERPers have not caught on yet.
No, but what I find really funny is this is also based on an Image comic, which I had no idea.
Right.
So the fact that Melanie is like, hey, you know what? I'm going to do a bunch of comic book movies or basically or comic book shows and people don't even realize it.
Yep.
But this was so good. And I was not expecting it to be the way it is.
Right.
So shall we jump in and discuss it a little bit?
Yes, we should.
Episode one, Don't Tell Dad. As the dead return to life in a small town, Officer Dana Cypress unearths a new deadly mystery. Revival Season 1, Episode 1, Don't Tell Dad, is a solid series premiere. It's giving Dark Winona Earp vibes meets Fargo. Melody Scarfano is back on my screen in a sci-fi show, and all is well with my world.
Yeah.
Don't Tell Dad deftly lays the groundwork for what's to come, and the overarching mystery is intriguing, as I can't even say, as all get out.
Yeah.
Society at large discriminating against revivers also hits close to home, especially considering the state of our country right now. I hope the series finds thoughtful ways to explore all of it. We open on Randy's crematorium during the holiday season in Wausau, Wisconsin. So it's kind of funny. It's not too far from me.
No.
May Tao films a segment about odd jobs in town, where she focuses on Randy and his cremation business. May helps Randy load a body into the cremation incinerator. I'm sorry, if I'm recording, I'm not helping do that because I'm not actually going to be there. Let's be honest.
Right. Meanwhile, Wayne Cypress, the town sheriff, quarrels with his daughter Dana, who's an officer at the local station working for her dad. Dana is packing her and her son's Cooper's belongings. She plans to move them to Chicago, where she's accepted a new job.
Hey, Chicago.
Yep. Wayne tries to dissuade her from leaving. Dana gives her father 2-week notice. Then Wayne gets a call about Randy, who's understandably panicking after the dead come back to life in his crematorium.
I think I'd probably be freaking out, especially the way we've seen it all happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He orders Dana to investigate while en route to Randy. Dana stops in the middle of the road near the cemetery. She looks on in horror as formerly deceased make their way toward her in a state of bewilderment. Why are they alive? Jordan, Cooper's classmate, approaches Dana asking for her mother. And we get a fast forward of 35 days, and quarantine is finally over. The Wausau officials, as sanctioned by Mayor Dillich, have ordered everyone not to leave town. CDC checkpoints are situated at various spots across town. And we learn that at least 47 revivers, as they are called, are in a registry. In addition, those who return from the dead usually died between December 4th and December 18th. The latter date is now known as Revival Day.
It's very strange that we have a very specific set of dates, too.
Yes, it is.
And my question, because we didn't see this, did they all have to, like, dig themselves out somehow? I mean...
Yeah, I guess so.
Like, nobody looked really, dirty.
No, they didn't look extremely dirty, and you didn't see any piles of dirt in the graveyard they were coming from, so...
I think I would have freaked out if I was a revive, you know? So, like, you have to dig your way out. That's a whole nother thing, but...
Yep.
Now I think I have to go find this comic book, though, and check it out.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Martha M. Cypress, Dana's little sister, soaks in a bathtub. We're in her dorm room. Her roommate, Kay, returns from her extended stay at home during the quarantine. She encourages M. to help her clean the place. Yeah, it looked pretty bad.
Yes.
It's like, ooh, did we have a party or what? Like,
yeah.
Classes are about to restart after all, and well, I guess life goes on. Elsewhere, Danny gets smoochy-smoochy with Ibrahim Ramin. They're about to get it on in Dana's vehicle when Wayne calls her about a dead horse. Okay. There's a joke there somewhere, but...
Yes.
Someone's got to be on dead animal duty, apparently, and Dana politely gives Ibrahim the boot before driving away. This scene feels very erp, especially because they came out basically drunk from a bar.
Right.
I do really love that.
Yes.
Later, Dana drives to the aforementioned dead horse in the middle of the road. And she discovers a dead coyote in an animal trap, a rather crudely made one at that, with railroad spikes. Strewn about the coyote and the horse are none other than human teeth, and it seemed like an awful lot of them.
Yes, it did. And that's just, what the hell is going on here?
Exactly.
Following day, we see a for lease sign outside Dana's house. She sends Cooper off to school. Although he's unsure about returning. On TV, Major Dillich chats with the reviver and reassures the townfolk that despite the extra precautions taken by the sheriff with his registry and checkpoint zones, Wausau is safe. Where have we heard that before?
Right? I'm sorry, you have the CDC surrounding not the Ghost River Triangle, but a very large area keeping you in, I don't know.
Yeah, it's school, Cooper reunites with Jordan, expressing gratitude that she's back. However, kids can be cruel, and their classmates bully her for being a reviver. Dana heads into the station to find a bevy of people complaining about revivers. Well, except one. Opal Shaw is desperately searching for her husband. He died the day before the two-week period prior to Revival Day. You missed it by one day. Deputy McCray creepily asks Dana if she's found her horse guy yet. It's a Letterkenny reunion, my good buddies. Dana asks Deputy Brent Carlisle if he was able to secure the registry for her. Unfortunately, her father is restricting access to just the task force.
Oh, I'm sure that's going to go over great with her.
Yeah.
Well... After that happens, Dana eavesdrops on the sheriff and mayor's heated argument. You didn't really have to eavesdrop too much.
No.
They're pretty loud. Well, she's mostly curious about the cutie patootie the CDC has sent over. Inside Wayne's office, Wayne advocates for kicking the revivers out of our Wausau.
Yes.
While Dillich believes they're not a threat. Then, after Dillich storms out, Dana barges into her father's office. And she realizes the new CDC liaison is none other than Ibrahim, her almost sex buddy. Well, things are going to get awkward pretty fast.
Yes.
Ibrahim explains that they have zero evidence thus far to support that revivers are dangerous. Once he departs, Wayne asks if Dana and Ibrahim have slept together. Well, not exactly, but...
No.
He knows something was up.
Yeah.
He also urges Dana to move quickly with the horse case. The station is stretched thin as it is. And before she leaves the office, Dana serendipitously grabs the registry files, hiding it behind her and then in front and, well, out the door she goes.
Yep.
She looks through them at her desk. She notes that a few names like Miles Miller are unascertained revivers. That's probably not good.
No.
Miles also has a violent past. Next, Dana gets a call from Chicago with, presumably, the woman who hired her on, informing her that since... You know, she's kind of stuck there. They can't hold the job for her anymore. It's like, oh, that's so bad. It's not like she's screwing around.
No, not at all.
So what does this mean? guess Dana's stuck in Wausau for a while.
Yeah. Now, Randy pops up and tells Dana that the horse is gone. The CDC took the carcass. Meanwhile, M pays Professor Aaron Weimer a visit. It's abundantly clear that they had some kind of romantic entanglement with quite the imbued power dynamic. M demands that Aaron meet her at their spot later. It's important. Later, Dana visits Ibrahim at the makeshift CDC headquarters inside a high school gym, and Dana wants to know why he took her horse. Ibrahim explains they found an anomaly inside said horse, human teeth. In fact, they're a match for the teeth Dana discovered near the dead coyote.
I love that she just, like, pulls out the teeth from her her pocket. And he's like,
yeah,
it's in an evidence bag. This is how you do stuff. And she kept, like, picking up, like, what was it, the railroad spike?
Yes.
And that felt very Winona, like just talking and randomly picking something up that she probably shouldn't have.
Absolutely. Now, Ibrahim decides to show Dana something incredible, but she can't tell anyone about it. Scout's honor, Dana says, while throwing up the Vulcan salute, a nice nod to Scarfano's other job riders. Ibrahim cuts through reviver tissue. In an instant, the tissue stretches itself back together.
That was so weird.
Yes, it was. This means revivers boast self-healing ability. Dana calls Lester, who was with her when she discovered the teeth, to confirm what kind of truck he drives. He recalls the truck tracks she found at the scene. They don't belong to Lester. She tells Ibrahim that someone placed an already dead horse in the middle of the road.
And you know, they're pretty heavy, okay?
Yeah.
A live horse is really a lot of weight. I couldn't imagine having to try to move around a dead horse. Like,
no.
Who's just going to be like, yeah, I can just whip this thing around, no problem.
No.
And I love that she figured it out just hearing him talk and looking at, like, the old poster, which still made me laugh.
Yes.
Dana also believes that someone out there is hiding a super strong animal-eating reviver. The reviver's teeth, in particular, can regrow, so while they might be strong enough to bite through a horse, the act might still destroy their teeth, and then they just keep coming back.
Yeah.
Kind of gross, too. Dana decides to pursue her only lead, Miles Miller. She wonders how the police know they've tracked down all the revivers when there are 45,000 people in the quarantine zone, and I'm sure there's more than one cemetery around there.
Yeah.
Someone could have died in their sleep and not known, or there could have been an accident that they weren't aware of. Who knows?
Yep.
Meanwhile, Em and Wayne chat on the phone. Em promises to be better at calling her dad on a more consistent basis. And after they hang up, Em weeps, staring at the wedding band in her hand. Excuse me?
What? Yes.
Someone watches her from the shadows. Next, Dana finds Miles, who's not exactly thrilled to see her, and they get into a scuffle. Well, Miles' arm winds up in one of the animal traps. So that's not so fun for him. Well, you know what? I guess you shouldn't have been using one of those. Just throwing that out there.
Yep.
Dana notices his teeth aren't in great shape, but they're merely how they were before Miles came back from the dead. They're certainly not regrowing. Dana then arrests Miles for, if anything, assaulting an officer.
Yep. Following day, Dana leaves to meet with a couple residing on the outskirts of the quarantine zone. They could have what she's looking for. Answers. Wayne takes Cooper along to do a wellness check for Mrs. Shaw. While en route, Dana finds M sleeping on a bench, and she offers to give her sister a ride home. And this wasn't a great relationship when they left off, that's for sure.
Yeah, it seemed very strained.
Yes, but they do reconnect. We learn that they used to be close, but time and family issues drove a wedge between them. They reminisce about old times and decide to plan a beach trip for when all the madness ends. We learn M has an undisclosed medical condition, potentially pertaining to her bones. M decides to ride along to keep Dana company while she works. Later, Dana arrives at the Dittmans, Bob and Terry. As it turns out, they have the kind of truck Dana is looking for. There's also a bloody tarp in the truck bed. Well, that's a dead giveaway.
Well, they weren't exactly nice and cool either. They seemed to be very nervous.
Yes, they were. Elsewhere, Mrs. Shaw lets Wayne into her house. He discovers that she dug up her husband's corpse and it's sitting at the kitchen table. Poor woman begs her husband to come back to life. Wayne departs while calling the coroner to come pick up the body. Ultimately, Cooper has fled Wayne's vehicle. That's not good.
A couple things here.
Yeah. Like,
Mrs. Shaw didn't exactly let Wayne into the house.
No, she didn't.
And the fact that she went and dug up her husband, and then she's like screaming at this body that, "You're so damn stubborn and you're always late. I knew it would take you forever." It's like, oh my God, that was messed up. And what have I said over and over? And I literally just did the same thing when Tina and I reviewed 28 years later for our movie reviews. What is it with kids and just not listening?
Yes.
Like, stay in the house, stay in the car, stay here. And it's like, bye.
Yep.
I seen something, so I'm going to go run after it. Good God, yep. Kid.
Yeah.
Well, we don't even get to that right away. We get instead Dana hearing noises from the Dittman's barn. And hey, that's Terry's mother who lives there now. Wait, why is your mom living in the barn?
Right.
Well, she's a rogue reviver who ate the horse and the coyote. And didn't she jump from the rafters too?
Yes.
And Dana's watching as Arlene's pulling out her teeth and they're growing back. And she's just like, they keep coming back. They keep coming back. I'm like, this woman is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, all right?
Yes.
Arlene lunges at Dana. Terry tries to pacify her mother. Unfortunately, Arlene tosses Terry, whose head catches on a hook on the barn wall. And, well, she dies. And I'm like, is she going to be coming back? Do we know what's happening here?
Right.
And this also was a big... Now, granted, this comic was probably written way before the end of Supernatural. But if you watch the last episode of Supernatural, I will not give it away. But it was a similar situation.
Yeah.
But then we have Bob attacking his mother-in-law, which I don't know. He didn't seem to have any love lost there. I'm just throwing that out.
No, not at all.
But he gets cast aside pretty easy. So, man, this like 90-year-old woman just tossing people around like nothing, like they're pillows.
Yeah.
And oh, guess what? Em, who also was told to stay in the car, is not in the car.
No.
She grabs a scythe and she attempts to stab Arlene with it. Suddenly, Arlene plunges the blade into Em's torso. Holy crapoli.
Yeah.
As Dana cries out, rushes to her sister's side, but whirls around to fire on Arlene. Well, those bullets do absolutely nothing.
Nope.
After this, Arlene tries to choke the life out of Dana, but thankfully... I guess, thankfully, Em was there. She slices the top of the head off Arlene, not just her head, and just shoop, clean off, and Arlene collapses. Well, a shocked Dana watches as the wound on Em's stomach heals. Holy crap, she's a reviver.
Yep.
Em tearfully begs Dana not to tell their father. It's like, I think there's a whole lot more questions than that.
Oh, yeah.
But dang, if I had a nickel for every time Melanie Scarfano's character has a little sister with special abilities, well, I'd have two nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it keeps happening.
Yes, it is. Well, we'd love to hear your thoughts on each and every episode this season. Our deadline for feedback is 6 p.m. Eastern every Friday during the season. You can send your feedback via email or audio to contact us at fangirlzone.com. Please review and rate us on iTunes and any other platform you use for your podcast. With good ratings and reviews, it helps other fans of the show find us, as there's probably several other revival podcasts out there. Tell your friends and hope you're enjoying our podcast. And don't forget to check out the other great Fangirl Zone podcast.
You can check everything out over at www.fangirlzone.com. You can find our podcast page, our contacts page. Everything's over there. And we will always apply to you, even if it's, you know, just a, hey, this is weird. And is this what we're calling undead people now? Zombies? Revivers? Walkers? What's next?
Yep.
So for this episode of Sci-Fi Talk,
I'm Steve. Did you talk it to death?
And I'm Sean Fangirl S. Until next time.